If there's one kind for you, I'll ask of you. See that my grave is kept clean.
This is KBOO Portland.
At KBOO, we accept many kinds of vehicle donations. We accept fuzzy vans, broken cars, zippy scooters, seaworthy boats, well-worn farm equipment, family-sized SUVs, old jet skis, and more. If your vehicle has a clean title, we can take it as a donation. If your vehicle isn't working, we can work with that, too. Call 877-KBOO-123. That's 877-526-6123. Or go to our website, kboo.fm/vehicle.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio. Of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. This is your host, Jamie Partridge, and my guests tonight are Mika Rudic and Oscar Lemus, who work for the East Portland Center for Autism and Related Disorders. Good evening, Mika.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Hello, Oscar.
Hello. Pleasure to be here.
So, we understand that workers at the East Portland Center for Autism and Related Disorders have just overwhelmingly voted to go union to organize with the OFNHP, or Oregon Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can you give our listeners a brief description of where you work and how many coworkers you have, what the type of work it is that you do?
Yeah, we have about 27 co-workers just in our office. There are almost 240 centers around the U.S., and we do one-on-one ABA behavioral therapy in a clinical setting.
ABA?
Applied Behavior Analysis.
And there are a number of these centers here in Portland, right?
There's one in West Portland, one in East Portland, one in Beaverton, one in Clackamas, one in Gresham. There's a lot of centers in this area.
Wow. Well, it's a chain of like 239 treatment centers in 33 states, mm-hmm. A huge corporation.
Yes.
So the website describes a career at CARD, Center for Autism and Related Disorders, this way. The Center for Autism and Related Disorders is a well-established, rapidly growing industry leader with abundant opportunities for advancement. Whether you already have experience or you are just getting started, CARD has developed a well-defined career path for your future growth. As you become a successful behavior technician or behavior analyst, your new skills and credentials provide you with many opportunities to advance. Nothing on the website describes working conditions or benefits. What's your take on this description?
The working conditions at CARD are really poor, at least from what I've personally experienced. There's a lot of complaints, not just through our clinic but throughout the company, about the lack of good treatment that we don't receive. Or the benefits. The required amount of hours that we need to get any kind of benefit is, you got to be considered full-time at this point, which means like around 30 hours a week, but a lot of us are not able to meet those hours because of the type of work we do. We do hourly appointments with our clients, and it's really difficult to meet those hours, so it's really difficult for us to achieve, to get those benefits. So
they don't work you full time, as they don't work you 30 hours, so you're not able to access the benefits.
Correct.
Right.
Or you'll get scheduled right under the 30-hour mark. It's happened to multiple coworkers, including myself, where you'll get scheduled for 29 and a half hours, mm-hmm. right below the threshold of mm-hmm. receiving any kind of benefit. And this seems to be common throughout the company.
Yeah, and even then, I was working over 30 hours, and I still had a really hard time getting benefits, and I ended up not getting any health care. And they also claim that they give health care out at 15 hours, which is not true. Like, I looked up the health care plan, and it's not a health care plan at all. And it's just such a bizarre thing to me, because we work in a health facility, and it's so important that we are taken care of in that way, because it really affects the type of or the quality of the therapy that we provide.
Mm-hmm. So they're not working you full-time hours, so you can't access benefits. But even if you are working full-time, the benefits that you have are meager, if anything, especially in terms of healthcare benefits.
Yeah, so some people do have benefits, but it's just a difficult and messy process there. To get anything, really, like raises, benefits, to get any questions answered has been really messy and like an exhausting process for a lot of people.
So are these the issues that the workers there are most agitated about?
So I've been working there for almost 2 years, and when I first got there, you know, I had seen one of the highest turnover rates that I've ever witnessed before. And what I witnessed was a lot of people's mental health declining after starting work there, which was so strange to me because we work in a mental health facility. And just like, it's one of the lowest pays in the field.
Can I ask what you get paid?
Yeah, so I started there at 14 an hour. So, and then the scheduling is really messy. There's a lot of cancellations, so it ends up not being a consistent paycheck for a lot of people. I heard people going to the food pantry, people couldn't pay their rent. And this is the stories that I was hearing.
So you don't have a regular guaranteed schedule. You don't have like a guaranteed 30 hours or a guaranteed 40 hours, and
not at all.
You just whenever you get an appointment with a client, that's your hour, and then it's $14 for that hour.
Well, we have scheduled appointments, but what happens a lot is those appointments will get canceled last minute, so we'll show up at the clinic and someone will say, oh, your session was canceled, and so we'll have to go home. So I saw people paying to get there and back and not getting any pay for that. So people were spending money sometimes to get to the clinic.
Yeah, so at our clinic, at least in the state of Oregon, we don't get show-up pay. So as Mika described, we'll show up there either by lack of communication, they didn't tell us the session got canceled, or the parents canceled last minute. So we'll just get there, and then we don't end up getting paid for those hours that we were scheduled, which usually is from like 2 hours to 4 hours. And that time, it's just unpaid. And what ends up happening frequently is a lot of people that take public transportation, so they have an appointment later on, but at this point their session got canceled, so they're stuck at the clinic for those 3-4 hours, but they're not getting paid and they're waiting for their next appointment to begin. So you feel like you're working full time because you're there the entire day, but you only get paid for a few hours if you get cancellations.
So is that $14 an hour, like, that's minimum wage? I mean, is that like what most people get paid?
So I think, well, the minimum wage in Portland is 12, is it?
It goes up July 1st to...
Right, to 12.50.
Yeah.
So I think people now are getting started at 15, but if you look at any other job in this field, it's a much higher rate for what we do, and the fact that we aren't guaranteed our hours also, you know. And the other thing is there's huge gaps between our schedules, so maybe we'll be scheduled from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., and then there'll be like a 3-hour gap where you're not getting paid, and then you're scheduled from 3 to 6, and so that adds up to 5 hours in one day, but you're there, it's an inefficient use of the time, and you can't get another job a lot of the time because it's really hard to accommodate that sort of schedule.
So you mentioned that you saw deterioration in people's mental health. Is that because of this scheduling thing or something else?
Yeah, I think it had a lot to do with the scheduling, the pay. I mean, the work itself is very taxing, and what I saw was a lot of people really, really wanting to stay there and do this work that feels so important to so many of us, but we just didn't feel supported. And I think that's kind of what sparked this campaign.
We wanted to do something to help people stay at the company, because a lot of them that left wanted to stay, but they just had no choice because they could not survive off just this job.
Mm-hmm. So this is clearly the kind of work that the people take because they care, because they wanted to do some good for the community. They want to improve people's lives, folks with autism, and they hang on, but they don't last even a year, maybe?
Mm. Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'd expect that a company like this doing this sort of work would treat their workers well. You know, I've seen a lot of other companies that do this same sort of work. Our nonprofits, ours is a for-profit company. You know, we had a coworker that worked in the nonprofit doing the same sort of work and worked here, and he just was talking about the major differences between working in a nonprofit versus a for-profit company. Yeah.
And in case you hadn't noticed, in Portland, there's been a lot of these nonprofits where they work with people with disabilities, people with mental health issues that are going union. And there's been a kind of a wave of people catching the waves, watching what's happening in other places, and getting stimulated, inspired by that. Right. Is that what happened with you all?
Right, like outside in and stuff. I mean, I feel like it's so important for people that are providing care to be cared for, because it just has such an effect on your work. Like, if you're not cared for, the quality of therapy goes down. And if you're not retaining therapists, then you're not maintaining a base of experienced therapists. And it really affects the child's therapy in that way, because children are constantly going through new therapists. And so it has a great effect on the quality of therapy.
Yeah. So you would think that if the owners cared about the quality and they want people to keep coming back, that they would want to retain a workforce with a low turnover. Yeah.
So I remember back, you know, when we were first, so a little over a year ago, we did a 10-minute break petition because we were not getting our 10-minute paid breaks. And people had asked management, and management said, oh, no, we don't do that here. And so we wrote up a petition, got all the therapists to sign it. Oscar presented it at a staff meeting, and we won our 10-minute breaks. And we were wondering, well, where do we go with that momentum? It felt so good to have the power of the people, and you know, the therapists well outnumber any sort of management in the company.
So tell me the story between a year ago and now. You just voted to hook up with the Oregon Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals.
Yeah, so it was about a year ago, March of last year, when we did that 10-minute break petition, and it was really empowering. And we were wondering where that momentum would go. And it died down a little bit, and I was thinking, well, what can we do next? And I remember actually messaging Oscar, being like, hey, do you know what a labor union is? Because I had no idea. We were completely clueless. And so we Googled labor union. We were kind of confused and stuff. But I had heard that my next door neighbor was a labor organizer with New Seasons. And so I went and I knocked on their door. And they answered. I said, hey, are you Allie? And they said, yes. And I said, hey, there's a lot of messed up stuff happened at my work. I heard you're a labor organizer. Could you explain to me what a labor union is? And so Allie, I'm so grateful for Allie. They took the time, they met up with me in a park and explained to me. I was still confused because there was a lot of acronyms that I didn't understand, but they took the time to explain to me and answer all my questions, and they connected me to a bunch of labor organizers in Portland. They gave me the book with the target on it.
Secrets of a Successful Organizer.
Yeah, yeah, I read that book. I gave that book to Oscar, and Oscar came and met up with, you know, we met up with labor organizers all over Portland, and it was such an inspiring thing. I mean, we really wanted to make sure we understood what it was before we started rallying people for the cause, because we wanted to make sure we were behind it. And so we took about 3 to 4 months maybe researching and talking to labor organizers, and it was through one of those labor organizers that got us in contact with someone at OFNHP. And we met up with several different unions before we decided to go with OFNHP.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Did you have more to add to that?
No, I think she pretty much described the whole process. We were really careful to know as much as possible before we start talking to our coworkers, just because we knew as soon as we brought this up, there were going to be a lot of questions. We wanted to be able to tell people the correct info, because we wanted them to know all the info prior to starting this campaign.
If you just tuned in, this is Labor Radio, KBOO Portland. You're listening to Mika Rudich and Oscar Lemus of CARD United, the new union at the East Portland Center for Autism and Related Disorders.
So with a corporation this large, one, you would think that a union drive would be easily squelched. I mean, if you know anything about how large corporations respond to or to workers trying to organize. So what was management's response to this union drive, and how did you overcome it? If it was negative.
Yeah. Oh, man, was it ever negative.
You want to talk about it?
We did a really good job keeping this secret till we talked to pretty much most of our coworkers, just a few that we hadn't talked to before they found out. Mm-hmm. And they found out in early April. We just had our union election.
They found out this April?
This mm-hmm. April. We just had our union election 2 days ago. So we were lucky enough that they didn't find out till very late in this campaign process. Even when they found out, they held a captive audience meeting, but we're pretty sure that they didn't know how well organized we were. Maybe they just heard a rumor and they're like, oh, maybe it's just squish this right now, but they didn't know like we were about to file for an election. Mm-hmm. So I think I think it was like 2 weeks after that, or like a week after that, we filed with the NLRB, and then that's when the anti-union campaign started a card that got really, really aggressive. Mm-hmm. And,
So after we filed, like he said, luckily we had an entire year to inoculate people, let people know. Mm-hmm. I made a union busting bingo so that people would know what was about to happen. I mean, people were unsure. They're like, oh, what can they really do? But we were like, no, y'all, it's going to get intense. This is a huge corporation, the biggest provider of ABA therapy in the world. There's no way that they're going to let this happen without a fight. They ended up hiring Saifar Shah, which is the same law company that fought against Cesar Chavez in the 70s. They also hired Cruz and Associates, which, ooh, you know it? Yeah, Trump hired them, to bust his hotel workers.
It's the same people that busted the New Seasons campaign here in Portland.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right, so they spent a lot of money, and there were, these past few weeks, almost an entire month of union busting. They flew our CEO out 3 times. She presented to us. They've also been union busting in all the clinics surrounding us, and actually in the entire U.S., they've been trying to calm people down mm-hmm. without letting them know that there's a union election that happened.
So there's no other clinics that have gone union in this chain of 239.
No, we are the first, and we're hoping to inspire other clinics. Mm-hmm. Other clinics, some of them have heard. Our CEO sent out an email to all of CARD saying, like, oh, I'm going to dedicate this year to all our behavioral therapists. And what she didn't realize was that we could reply all to that email. So one of our workers replied all to that email and sent out an email saying, hey, just so you know, this email is coming out just because we filed for a union election and she doesn't want you to do the same. And so in that way, people started hearing a little bit and started getting in contact with us. So they shut down our email completely after that and erased that email right away, and we can't send emails anymore. But that was a big mistake on their part. But yeah, it's been a month of manipulation, harassment, abuse. People following people to their cars to talk to them, offering rides home to try and union bust. I mean, they knew that we were really strong mm-hmm. and together, and we knew it was up, and they got incredibly desperate.
Mm-hmm. And so they had a must to basically squash this, and they were unsuccessful. Apparently, overwhelming vote, huh?
18-4, unsuccessful.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you have all this terminology. You really did your research. You know about inoculation. You know about captive audience. You use the word union busting. You know, this is terminology that if you can inoculate, if you can warn your coworkers what's coming, when it comes, it's not a surprise. It's like, oh, okay,
right.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and yeah, they're going to threaten. Yeah, they're going to lie. Yeah. Did they try to improve the conditions or raise wages or anything like
mm-hmm.
that?
They improved the conditions in all the clinics around the U.S., which is a victory for us either way, you know, whether we won the election or not. But, you know, they were saying, hey, they improved over there, but we can't improve over here because of what you all are doing. But then they did improve other things, like they got us better paper towels. Like, I remember the first captive audience meeting, they pulled out a credit card and they're like, what's your wish list? What do you want around here? You know?
They fixed issues that we brought up forever, like mm-hmm. simple issues that they should have fixed long time ago. Mm-hmm. Like, we had bathrooms that they didn't lock, mm-hmm. and I don't know where they fixed them.
Right.
We have toys that are broken, missing, got them replaced right away. Mm-hmm. They were more on top of yearly races that we should have gotten. Like, once this happened, they're like, we need to do this as soon as possible, because what they used to do is like wait like 6 months after you hit your 1 year mark to maybe get a race.
Mm-hmm.
So they were definitely scared, and they were trying to convince us that the company is changing, that we had already won, that we need a union mm-hmm. to just vote mm-hmm. no, give the CEO another chance.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew this was coming. You were able to warn people that this is what they would do to try to undercut your union.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. They didn't accomplish it.
Right. I mean one of the big things we let people know is like why a company would union bust. Mm-hmm. And so after that, everyone could kind of see through. And we also watched a video called Confessions of a Union Buster.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Oh, yes. That's
oh
great.
Yeah. It was so good and just so telling. I mean, and it's just really like they did all the textbook union busting mm-hmm. tactics. And we had learned about all of this on the Union Busting Bingo. And stuff like that. We had tried our best to let people know, and it was really hilarious. I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's like a game. Mm-hmm. After it all started, I crossed off each one, and they hit almost every one of the textbook union busting tactics. Spread rumors, all sorts of things.
This is really, I'm really so happy to hear all this, to be able to put it out on the radio, because so many people are in your situation, but they don't know. And I just don't know of a number of situations where people, their campaigns have just died because the company came back with a raise here and there, or mm-hmm. changed a little bit of conditions, and they thought, oh, okay, I guess the company cares.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's like classic. It's like the way that they undercut drives.
Right.
So now that you've won, the next big step is to get a first contract. Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts about that?
So we are right now about to elect our bargaining committee.
Great.
We have yet to send out like surveys to ask exactly what we want for. We do have a mission statement, and on there I think there's like, just it was pretty broad. To leave, you know, this open for discussion for when we were going to, like, discuss what we wanted to ask for in our first contract. So I think we're not quite there yet. We're still riding the victory a little bit. But
well, of course.
Yeah.
It just happened, like, a few days ago, right?
Yeah. But we have our first official union meeting this Tuesday. So we're excited.
Obvious. And of course, I don't want you to give away on the radio what your plans are, but they will, of course, you'll do your research and know that they will throw all kinds of things at you to try to stall and to discourage people.
Absolutely. Oh,
they've already pretty much foreshadowed that they're going to be super difficult in bargaining, because that was one of their main tactics they used. They're trying to scare us to say, like, once bargaining begins, it's not just the CEO said this, like, it's not just going to be me bargaining with you, it's going to be me and a group of lawyers. And once you get mm-hmm. lawyers in, it's going to be really, it's going to get really kind of like aggressive. So we've already been foreshadowed of how they're going to act during this. To the point where, like, she even told us that if we even the thought of strike comes up, or like if it happens, she's going to have replacements, permanent replacements ready to replace us all. So it's like we're expecting a really aggressive fight, like pushback for every contract that we try, that we present to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, our CEO, she was interesting. She flip-flopped back and forth between, I want to give you the world, and you aren't getting anything from me. And it was just such a bizarre contrast to see in her emails. She would write out literally one sentence that says, I really care about what you have to say, and I want to listen to you. And her next sentence would be like, but, you know, I will always, you know, bargain in the best interest of the company. So it was just bizarre to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I imagine that you've done research on this company and you know that they have the money.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
They definitely have the money.
We know that.
Well, they've been expanding like hand over fist, right? Mm-hmm. Constantly opening up new centers. That money comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. There was an investment firm that invested in them called Blackstone a while back. So, and they're really pushing the expanding of the company. And yeah, I mean, it's just so obvious that they care so much more about quantity than they do quality.
So what kind of support do you expect from your clients and their families?
Yeah, I mean, our whole mission this entire time, and the reason why I think we are all so united and we have so much support, is the reason we're doing this is for the kids. Mm-hmm. We would love to uphold the CARD mission statement of supporting the kids as best as we can and providing the highest quality therapy that we can. That's why we're doing this. And we're hoping that the parents will be on board with that, because I'm sure that they would want their kids' therapists to be treated well.
So what can our listeners do to like keep up to date and support your struggle? Is there a Facebook page or an email or anything?
Yes. Yeah, so right now we have an Instagram page called CARD United. We are hoping to soon have a Facebook page connected to it, and that way people can follow updates, and also other people, other CARD employees, can reach us and get info about potentially starting this process in their own clinic, and coming from people who went through the same process with this company, so they don't know exactly what to expect from our CEO and everyone involved. Mm-hmm. So that's how.
Well, and then of course, it's CARD United.
CARD United.
CARD United. Okay. And of course,
CARD
there are
underscore United.
Oh, CARD underscore United. All right. And so of course there are all these other clinics that have recently gone union. And you've already connected with some union organizers across the city. So there's a network of people that are going through the same process. Some people have already got their first contract. Some people are trying to get their first contract, like Cascadia Behavioral Health is in the process of getting their first contract. I think Outside In just got their first contract. So these are all folks that'll be there with you and for you.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Yeah. I think what always gave me motivation and us motivation and validation to keep on going was those times when we did get to meet with organizers. Mm-hmm. It was just such an essential and important part of this campaign for us.
It was really inspiring to hear from other people who went through this whole process and came out victorious at the end. That's what definitely kind of kept us sane throughout this process and kept us going. And they also provided so much info, and they helped us out so much throughout this whole process. That's why we were able to do this. That's why we were so organized through this entire process, because of them.
Right. Through all the gaslighting that we got from our company, you know, it's on you, it's on you. Mm-hmm. It was so essential to get validation and hear that we were doing the right thing, and you know, we're not crazy or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so grateful for all those organizers that did take the time.
So that wraps it up. We're out of time. We've been talking with Mika Rudich and Oscar Lemus of the East Portland Center for Autism and Related Disorders United. No, what is
Card United.
Card United, yeah. Sorry, their new union. Mm-hmm. And you've been listening to Labor Radio. This is Jamie Partridge. And this Monday and every Monday, thanks to Mike, our engineer. And stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of a discussion entitled Islamophobia and White Nationalism in Oregon and the World on Tuesday, May 28th at 7 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society in Portland. In Oregon, as in other places, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia have intersected to perpetuate white supremacist and white nationalist ideology. This panel discussion will explain those connections and will offer tools that individuals and communities can employ to help stop the spread of hate culture. Again, that is a discussion on Islamophobia and white nationalism in Oregon and the world on Tuesday, May 28th at 7 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society, 1200 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland.